Attorney, I'll grant you a special dispensation. Everyone will be so happy with the new toys, they won't question any decisions I make. We'll be the most powerful barony in Deathlands, maybe even on the whole planet.
And if we're not successful, you can always claim we were wild-assed mercies, not connected to Hellscale at all, operating without your sanction or knowledge.
The before-timers call it plausible deniability. Isn't that a lovely phrase?
The Freezies in the nose may not believe you, lovely phrase or not.
That's a risk I'm prepared to take.
Glancing over his shoulder, Ryan exchanged quick looks with Mildred, JB, Jack, and Christy. He turned back to Hellstrom.
I'm too tired to give your proposition the consideration it deserves. Let us get back to Hellscale, rest up, and have a chance to discuss it among ourselves.
A fair proposal.
If you don't like our decision,
then I'll be forced to make one of my own.
Back at the saloon, Christy and Mildred had made it plain that a bath was their first order of business. Doc, Jack, and JB had opted for naps. Ryan, who felt soiled and grungy, had collected a fresh shirt and pants from the backpack and went to the first floor bathroom. The tub was old and deep, but it was equipped with running water. A cake of homemade lye soap the size of a canned ham was on a stool. For a few minutes, Ryan occupied himself with the ordeal of shaving by feel. He nicked himself twice before he'd rid his face of the stubble. Then he lay back, closing his eye, hoping some of the tension and worry would ease from his muscles and mind. He was on the verge of dozing off when he heard the bathroom door. He reached for his Sig Sauer on the stool.
No need for that, Cawdor.
It was Fleur, wearing a pink silk wrapper, the cuffs of the voluminous sleeves edged with brightly colored feathers. With her long hair tumbling about her shoulders, she looked astonishingly feminine, despite the eye patch and the X scar.
What are you doing here?
I want a bath. No one told me this one was occupied.
As you can see, it is. Close the door on the way out.
All right.
Fleur didn't seem inclined to hurry.
Something else?
That tub looks very accommodating. I think it might hold two.
Don't even bother to test that theory.
Fleur strode forward. She casually raised the hem of her wrapper, sat on the lip of the tub, swung her legs over the top, and plunged her feet into the water.
What do you want?
If we're to share the title of Hellscale's warlord, we need to talk.
I haven't made up my mind about accepting the appointment yet.
That's what we have to talk about, Cawdor.
Why?
I don't care to share my position with anyone, unless it's someone I can trust.
Makes sense.
And I can't trust someone who doesn't know where I came from or how I came to be.
Tell me then.
When I was 12, I was crossing the Rockies with my parents as part of an overland wagon train. We were out of Seattle, and we were heading for Colorado. Turned out our guides led us into a trap. A bunch of mercies swept down out of the hills and chilled everybody.
Except you.
Except me. Since slavery was one of their sidelines, they figured they could trade me to Baron Alfred Nelson, leader of the Vistaville.
Ryan managed to keep the surprise he felt from showing on his face. Nelson was one of the many barons he and his group had run afoul of, and like many others, the man had lost his life when he sought to enslave or kill them.
I tried to escape several times. The last time, I got this.
She touched the patch covering her eye.
One of the mercies butt-stroked me with his rifle. He was a little too enthusiastic, and I was instantly damaged goods.
They didn't trade you to Baron Nelson, after all?
They didn't have the opportunity. The very next day, a war party of Lakota swooped down. They butchered the mercies, just like the mercies had butchered the people on the wag train.
Let the punishment fit the crime. What did the Lakota do to you?
They took me with them. They knew I was a prisoner, so they more or less rescued me. They took care of me.
How long did you stay with them?
Can't say for certain. 4 years at least, maybe five. It wasn't a bad life, though we were on the move a lot. I learned their language. They taught me to hunt, to track, to use weapons, to kill.
How did you hook up with Hellstrom and his family?
We came across the Patriarch and his people struggling through a mountain pass in the winter. There weren't very many of them, and they were slowly starving to death. The Patriarch wasn't taking any food, but gave what little they had to the strongest members. They were even eating their own shoes. My band of Lakota took pity on them and allowed them to share the winter camp. The Patriarch and I made an instant connection. I knew somehow that he was a born leader. A messiah who would carve an empire out of Deathlands. One who would rule forever. I was shown that my white blood was far superior to that of the savages I'd been living with.
Disgust welled up within Ryan. He guessed that Hellstrom had psi-scanned everyone in the Sioux village and found Fleur's mind the most malleable, the easiest to influence.
The Patriarch and one of the tribal leaders touched the sky, agreed to a pact. The Lakota would allow the whites to remain in this country as long as they didn't go anywhere near Mount Rushmore.
The Lakota knew about the Freezies up there?
Oh, yes. It was a source of great anger to them. They viewed them as monstrosities, a monument to the pre-dark evils that they had hoped were forever destroyed.
Of course. Lars broke the pact at the first opportunity.
And why not? Who are the red savages to order their racial superiors around?
This is their land, for one thing. Was Zadfrak part of Hellstrom's group?
Yes. He fell in love with Touch the Sky's sister, Many Stars. When the Patriarch and his family left, Zadfrak took Many Stars with him.
And you went too?
Of course. It was my destiny, wasn't it?
I think I understand now. When Touch the Sky saw Lars had made a beeline for Mount Rushmore, he feared that he would ally himself with the Freezies up there. A war party followed you, a fight broke out, Many Stars escaped, and the seeds of the hatred between the family and the Sioux were planted. Then, of course, after Many Stars gave birth, Hellskell was established. Zadfrak returned to the Sioux just long enough to find that his son had died of rat cancer, and he killed the woman.
Yes, and was cast out. Until you returned him.
If I knew then what I know now, I would have left him for the Sioux or the Screamwings.
That's all past, Cawdor. We need to discuss your future with the family.
I don't see much of one, Fleur.
You had better, or you won't have any future at all. That goes for all of your people, including your pet muty bedmate.
I'm listening. What's your take on my future as co-warlord of Hellskell?
Fleur leaned forward, her hand moving beneath the surface of the water, to stroke Ryan's thigh.
After the ceremony, when your appointment is made official, you and I will enter into a contract, a bonding.
Like a marriage?
Somewhat. My life belongs to you now, Cawdor. Together, we will expand Hellskell's influence, especially after you win the tech inside Mount Rushmore. You, me, and the Patriarch will be the most powerful people in Deathlands.
You're forgetting a few things. I have a responsibility to my people, and I have a son.
They'll enjoy a privileged status in Hellskell.
And my pet muty bedmate?
She'll just have to get used to the new arrangement, won't she?
No. Because whatever I decide, the arrangement you're talking about will never happen.
Fleur moved her hand farther up his thigh. Her fingers brushed his testicles, and her smile widened.
Don't let your pride lead you into making a foolish choice, Cawdor. After you're with me, you won't want any other kind of arrangement.
As her hand made a move to caress his organ, Ryan grabbed her by the wrist and yanked her arm.
Ah!
Get away from me. Get away or I'll break your neck. You have my promise on it.
Our lives are intertwined now. Mutual destinies. Between us, we have two eyes and can see further than anyone. We'll share one vision. Don't you understand?
I understand perfectly. Your life is your own. And I don't need your eye to see the truth.
Ryan released her. Fleur stood in a rush and stepped away from the tub.
You've made an enemy today, Cawdor. Maybe the last one in your life.
Oh, shit.
Ryan concentrated on regaining his sense of comfort. It wasn't easy. His mouth was dry, and a part of his body was still reacting to the woman, and not to his disgust and anger with her. The water was turning cold, and he was grateful for it. His body was soon answering to his mind again. Back in his room, Ryan told everyone about his encounter with Fleur. No one made any jokes, for which he was grateful, but Christie's eyes flashed with emerald fire.
Did you figure Hellstrom sent her?
Maybe, though I doubt it. She trotted out the old my life is yours horseshit, even though welching on debt seems to be part of Hellskell's basic philosophy.
What you do? Be the warlord? It very much appears that is your sole option. Otherwise...
Doc drew a thumb across his throat.